Where did they all go? Ah, it reminds me of a time when we went into Edmonton Maximum Security Prison some years ago, and it was around this time of the year, a little bit later, into October. And I love baseball. I love baseball, and it was World Series time. And as we were checking into the max at Edmonton, the guard says, "Do you know what you're up against?" I said, "Sure I do." The Pittsburgh Pirates were playing in the World Series, and I was a Pittsburgh Pirate fan, and they were playing that night, and I said to the guard, "If there's one person there that will receive the word, I will give him the whole works, the whole program." Guess what? That chapel was packed. And every little while, one of the inmates would go out, and 10 minutes later, he'd come back. So I'd ask, "What's the score now?" I had firsthand information as to what was going on in the game that I would have loved to see. But what a pleasure it was to be with a packed house in the chapel at Edmonton Max Institution. Ladies and gentlemen, the fact that there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 people here. Wow, that's a crowd. That's good. That's real good. You know why? But because there's room for people to come. And that is what you people are desiring. That is what I desire for you. I was asked by Amy to come and preach, and I said, "Yes, I've been looking forward to this day, and I will tell you why in a little while." I'm not your standard guy. I'm a country boy, so this is a country church. I'm a country boy, and I'm different. I've never gone to Bible school. I've never gone to high school. But since I was 14 years old till now, I bet you I have not been unemployed more than 6 months in total. Anybody that tells me you can't find a job, I say, "You're a bald-faced liar. You're lazy." It might be a little crude, but hey, I'm a cowboy. Somebody says, "Rick, there's people that don't like you because you say it the way you see it." And I love God's word, and I like to preach God's word. Oh, by the way, Pastor, did he leave? Oh, there he is. What version are your pew Bibles? NIV? Okay. I have some issues with the NIV, but I used to use that quite exclusively in the prisons because every prison has an NIV Bible. This morning, you're going to get the word from the New King James Version. Okay? You'll bear with me with that. I know you will. Jesus, when he started his ministry in Galilee, he went to the synagogue and they gave him the book of Isaiah. And he went and he looked. And he found the portion in Isaiah 61 and he read it. And then he handed the book back and he went to sit down. And this is what he read. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." He was speaking about himself, wasn't he? He was speaking of what Isaiah had told about himself. And somehow, I identify with him. I identify with him. He has sent me. He has anointed me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those who are bound. You know, at the MSU in Drumheller, it's kind of like a United Nations. And one guy from Peru, one guy from Brazil, one guy from the Philippines, one guy from South Korea, and the other four, I think, are Canadians. And you know what is the exciting part of it? The Word of God is for all nations, all tongues. And so you can come together and you can have 8, 9, 10 different nationalities there. And I've even had a number of Muslims, and you can give them the Word of God, and it is for every single one of them. I'm getting a little bit too lively here for this church, huh? I get passionate, ladies and gentlemen. I used to be addicted to hockey. I would play 3 hockey games a day. I would almost kill myself playing hockey. I'd have knees that were pretty... Sorry, the sound man, is it okay if I step away from the mic? You're okay? I'd have knees that would be swollen like this, and I would still go and play hockey.
You had broken teeth.
I was addicted to the game. And I got excited about the game. And I've won championships, and I know what that feels like. I've gotten caps that had MVP printed on it. Whoa. It was just like, that was my life. That has changed. You know what? They can't play a hockey game exciting enough to keep me awake anymore. I just fall asleep. But I get excited about God and His Word. This is powerful stuff. This is awesome. I got to carry on because I'm not going to get through. Philemon. Do you know about the book Philemon? Philemon, he had a guy, he had a slave that took off. Left him. Guess what? Ended up in prison. And there, you're right, Pastor. God has interesting ways of doing things. He can take a dreadful situation and he can bring about something exceedingly awesome. Awesome. Well, here he was. This guy, he's in prison. And who does he meet but Paul? Who? He gets saved. Wow. I have some friends like that. I have a friend in Berlin. I met him in Drumheller Pen. He was illegally in Canada, and he killed his wife while in Canada, so he got arrested, and he was in Drumheller Pen. He accepted Jesus. And when it was time to release him, the immigration people, they didn't know what to do with him. Are we going to send him back to Berlin, or are we going to let him be in Canada? And he said, whatever you guys decide, that's perfectly fine by me. Well, guess what? They decided to send him back to Berlin. Every now and then he regularly sends us birthday cards and Christmas cards. And every now and then he calls us and we call him. But you know what? It was the most blessed thing for him to be sent back to Berlin, because the last 2 years of his mother's life, he was the main caregiver for his mother. And every time I call him or he calls, he says, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. Wow. Awesome stuff. Anyway, speaking of people in prison, here he is. This guy's in prison, gets saved in prison under Paul's ministry. And after he's going to leave, Paul writes the letter Philemon. And I'd like to read some of that stuff. I thank my... Oh, by the way, I'm sorry, I don't have a page number because your Bibles would be different.
We don't have those Bibles yet.
No, okay. I'm going to have to get me one of them just in case I come back. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective. You know, the guys in prison, they say, Rick, we will never forget you. Maybe they will. And I tell them, if you forget me, that don't matter. But don't forget God's word. Don't forget God's word. By the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been, there's the word, refreshed by you, brother. And then verse 20. I was reading from verse 4 to verse 7. Somebody got it. Verse 20, he says, "Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord." I was at Refuge Ranch one day. I was transplanting flowers. I love flowers. I love marigolds. I didn't know it till this spring, but marigolds, apparently they give off a smell that insects don't like. But I like the colors. And so there it was. I was transplanting flowers because I had planted some marigolds in a place where there's going to be hollyhocks growing later. And, of course, they would just crowd out the marigolds anyway. And there I was transplanting these. And all of a sudden, while I'm transplanting these, I saw a pickup truck come in the yard. It happens from time to time. And I thought, I don't know that truck. Then the door opened and I thought, I don't know that man. But I walked towards him and he was hopping towards me and we met. And there are some days when I would not have time for a person to just drop in the yard and I'd be busy. There's things I have to do. I really don't have time to visit. But this wasn't one of the days. Those marigolds, they could wait. And I met Kelly Clark for the first time, to my knowledge. And we spent, what, an hour? Maybe. And this brother refreshed my soul. There was just something about that hour spent that was just absolutely priceless. Priceless. He shared a little bit of his testimony. Yeah, you're right. Sunday school. Kelly, Sunday school. Songs from Sunday school. I shall not forget. I've shared that with a number of people. The songs, what they can do. Like God uses various ways and means to all of a sudden convict a person or draw a person. And all of a sudden, well, I don't know what's happening, but it's happening. Praise God. I got to carry on. Kelly refreshed me that day. Do you ever need refreshing? Huh? You ever need refreshing, ma'am? Yeah, she says, yeah. She's not used to preachers picking her out like that. But I tell you, I'm different. I'm not your common seminary graduate. I'm just not. And I'm okay with that. I hope you are. Kelly? Hold fast the pattern of sound words. Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 to 18. The word says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, Paul speaking, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. I thought about the word keep recently, and I know I have a kind of a word genius sitting here. And that's good. She critiques us sometimes. That's good. But I thought about this word keep. What does it mean? What does the word keep mean? In the dictionary, actually, it's a number of meanings. Keep. And you know, when you get to be old geezers like us. Yeah, I bet you hear about the seniors here today, dear. Yeah. And there comes a day when you downsize, right? Is there anybody here that knows anything about downsizing? Already?
No, not us.
Oh, mom. Yeah, downsizing. And when you're downsizing, you sometimes wonder, what should I keep? But there's another meaning of the word keep.
Do it. Keep the commandments of God. Do them. Keep the words of God. Do it. Keep it.
What good things which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. If you're going to keep anything, keep this. I have about 10 Bibles. I've read through every one of them. No, the last one, I've been in it now for 3 years. And I'm going to finish it in 2024. And then I will have read through every Bible that I have, and some of them more than once. One Christmas, I stacked all my Bibles in a stack. It was quite a number. And I said to my grandsons, whose mother is a teacher, and I said to my grandsons, I said, guys, as far as your papa is concerned, these books here are the absolute most important textbooks you will ever see in your life. You will never see another textbook that is important as the Word of God. Keep it. Follow it. Do it. If you burn your entire library full of books, but don't burn the Word of God, hang on to it. Follow it. Keep it. This you know. Still Paul talking, verse 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 15. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me. Kelly, keep refreshing people. The congregation here, keep refreshing people. You need to be refreshed. Yes, you need to be refreshed. I remember a time when I was writing letters to a missionary friend. His name was Kurt Bork. He was with the Shantyman's Mission, and he would go to remote areas in the bush country of northern Ontario, and he would minister in at sawmills and bush camps and so forth. And I was writing letters to him. I'm just a young lad. This man could preach an entire message, and he'd never need to read. He just knew it off by heart. He could just rattle off the word, and he could preach the word just flow, and I was impressed by this man, and I'm writing letters to him, and he would write letters back. Wow, that's honorable. When you have a senior, he could be your father or your grandfather, and he's writing letters to me, a young Christian that would like to continue to grow in the knowledge of God's awesome word. And he wrote me one day, and he opened the letter with these words: I feel like a dried up stick. And I couldn't believe what I was reading. What? This man? And he feels like a dried up stick? Oh yeah, I know now what he would say. I don't care what kind of a strong missionary you are. I don't care how many schools you've gone through. I don't care how many verses you know off by heart. There's going to come a day when you are going to feel like a dried up stick. You have nothing to offer. No, 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 you haven't lost your faith. But you're physically, psychologically exhausted. I'll tell you something. If I go to Drumheller Pen on Wednesday, and Wednesday's my favorite day of the week, I can go to jail. And when I go there and I spend an hour and a half with the guys at the MSU, and then I have a half hour break, and then I can go to the big house and I can talk to the guys there, and it is just incredibly awesome. But you ask my sweetheart, and she'll tell you, Thursday, I'm done. I'm done. I'm just wrung out. And Thursday very often is kind of a day where I should get some physical work done and stuff around the ranch and so on and so forth. And I do. But I'm just tired. Why? Well, because those dozen guys that I minister to on Wednesday, they will suck it out of you. They will drain you. They will psychologically just, whoa. And I love it. I love it. But I'm done. And you're a dried up stick. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and he found me. The Lord grant him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. Now, that was intriguing to me. How many ways? How many ways? There are various ways that we can minister to people. There are various ways that we can encourage people. There are various ways that, wow, that just all of a sudden picks people up. And there are various ways that some people pick you up. There are various ways, but you meet that person and it just does something for you. Just see, the reason why because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Did I give you this book, Kelly? Yeah, I did. I have brought a bunch of these books with me, and they're in the back, and you just pick them up. I think I must have given away a couple of $1,000 worth of these books that cost me about $6. I marvel at what the inmates say about this book. Stories. Story. I could tell you stories. I could spend all day telling stories. But I used to have a guy in my class in the minimum security unit. He was in his 80s, I believe. He was a medical doctor. And you ask, well, why was he in prison? Well, I didn't ask, but I have a pretty good idea. And you know, he would sit in the back. Johannes was his name. Johannes Killian. He was a medical doctor. He was sitting in the back. And every time, he would ask, can we sing, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. Here's a man in his 80s. He's medical. He's an educated man. He came from South Africa. When he got this book, he said, I want one. Yep, you can have it. And then one day he said, my daughter came to see me. And she wonders, where can she get a hold of this book? And I said, give me your address, I'll send one to her. No, she wants two. She's also a doctor. And she wants one for herself and she wants one for her office so that the people that come and wait, they can read it. So he gave me her address and I sent her the books. And he said to me that I told my daughter to make sure to send Richard a good donation. She did. She sent me $500. That's not a bad price for a book like that, Kelly, huh? I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, because in 2013, I wrote this book, and I put together some of the things that God has done in my life to change my life. And I'm not done changing. And you know what? My chief witness, my wife, she says to me every now and then, Rick, you're not the man that I married. You're changed for the better. Hallelujah! I like it. Yes, if your spouse says you're not the man or you're not the woman that I married, you're changing. You're changing for the better. I don't care if you have gray hair or not. You can change. These people that tell me, well, that's just the way I am. Well, if that's just the way you is and you don't like it, then change. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Change. You can change. I don't care how old you get. You can change. Anyway, I got to carry on. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 16, verse 13 to 18. When is the roast ready? No, we're not having roast. We're having coffee. Okay. And it's not particular when? Okay. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 to 18. I like this word.
Watch. Watch. Watch me. Watch Jesus. Watch for what he said. Watch. Multiple thousands and millions of people, they at one time believed this and they don't anymore. I know it. Because we used to go to Calgary and sing at the Stampede on the 8th Avenue Mall in one of these stands that they'd have there. And of course we would sing gospel songs. And people from all over the world would come by. And the one year we were amazed, we were four of us, my wife and I and our oldest son and then an ex-Hutterite that was playing bass for us. We were singing there. And then after, we conversed as we were driving home and we found that a number of people had said these very words. I believe once, but I don't anymore. It's too old. This is old stuff. Like, that ain't going to happen. That's never going to happen. And I say, watch. Watch. Stick around. Check it out. It'll happen. I will put my life on it. It's going to happen. Huh. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that they also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, for what was lacking on your part, they supplied. For they refreshed my spirit and yours. Ladies and gentlemen, if I can refresh somebody, if I can give somebody new hope, if I can give somebody new zeal, if I can... Don't give up. Don't quit. It ain't over. Therefore, acknowledge such men. Right after COVID, I was getting into Drumheller. And, I marvel. God does marvelous things. All my life, I've dealt with security things, and yet I hate to go through security scans. I don't like to go to the airport because they always want to know about everything, and they tell you to take this off and put this on. I don't need that. But at the same time, I've been going in and out of prison for over 30 years. And there, they said, Rick, you can start coming back in, but your security is expired, so you're going to have to get new security. I said, okay, let's do it. They said, well, you can either go to the RCMP, get your fingerprints and a picture taken, or you can come directly to the institution. I said, I'm not going to the RCMP. I'm coming directly to Drumheller. You meet me at the front door. We will go in and get her done. Okay, so just forget the lady's name now, but she met me at the front door of Drumheller Pen, and we walked in, and she said, how long have you been doing this? I said, for 30 years. And she says, well, how long do you want to do this? And I said, till I'm 120. And she said, indefinitely? And I said, yeah, that's a good word. It's my life. Like, I love to go into prison and preach the gospel news to these people. So we went in, and when we approached the building where they took the fingerprints and the pictures, she said to me, Rick, we're going to do the fingerprints today, and then if Ottawa passes it, then we will do the picture at another time. Okay, whatever. So we go in, and she approaches the desk where the lady is, and she says, okay, so this is what we're going to... And the lady said, no, we're going to do the fingerprints, we're going to do the picture today. Okay, so we do that. And then as we were leaving that building, this lady who is in charge of volunteers coming in, she said, Rick, as many years as you've done this, as far as I'm concerned, whether Ottawa passes or not, you come next Wednesday. And if your new security doesn't work, just use your old one. and I've been coming back ever since. Well, I learned very quickly that Drumheller had changed during the COVID 2 years, quite dramatically. As a matter of fact, I found out that, there's a lot of guys that are being threatened not to come to chapel. Drumheller is largely gang-driven, a lot of gangsters there, and so on. So there were threats made there, and sometimes guys would come, sometimes they wouldn't. And I was getting frustrated. And so I started praying, vengeful prayers. I said, Lord, it's about time that you send an angel into some heavy's cell and scare the living out of him. See, because most of the time when an angel confronts a human, the first thing the angel has to say is, fear not. Well, the Lord had a different plan. He sent an inmate that knew about God. He had accepted Jesus as an 11-year-old. And he had attended Pentecostal churches in the Maritimes most of his life. But when he became an adult, he got trapped into the whole drug scene. And I can tell you right now, there's a lot of churchgoers, they get trapped into that drug scene. You know why? Because there's not very many things that you can do that will get you more money quicker than selling drugs. Money. Well, there he was, and he realized the error that he had made, but he had turned around, and he knew what God was about. He knew God's word, and he was outspoken, and he did not fear. He said to me, he said, the second time I saw him, he says, Rick, I'm not afraid of the hell's angels. They can kill me, but they can't take what's in my heart. And all of a sudden, guys started coming. You know why? Because there was one man that was fearless. He would not be pushed by the heavies in the institution. Well, it cost him because later on he got to the MSU, and one day, you know, this is how tough the Hell's Angels are. One day while he is sleeping, they pipe him and they beat him up. They broke a couple of his ribs. He had his face did not look good. And he missed a couple of studies just because of the beating that he took. Why? Because he would not keep his mouth shut. He would talk about the Word of God. Isaiah 40, 29 to 31. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, that is one of the absolute toughest assignments for me. Wait. Wait. I'm impatient. It better be happening now. If I'm dealing with an almighty God, he can make it happen now. Not next week, not next month, not next year, now. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I got to shut down. Acts chapter 3, verse 18 to 22. Why am I saying these things, ladies and gentlemen? Because I can well imagine that some of you get tired. Some of you may even feel like a dried up stick. But God ain't dead, and he ain't sick. And I have no idea whether I'll ever be invited back to this church or not, or whether I will just come and visit. Oh, you know, another story. I shouldn't take time, but maybe I should. There was a man that used to invite himself to our house. He was sneaky. He was in his 80s. Well, no wonder. He was smart. And he'd call. And he'd call at 5 o'clock. And he'd say, so what's for supper? And our phone, of course, we had a land phone, and it was right there in the room where Carol was making supper. And he'd say, so what's for supper? And I'd turn over to Carol, and I'd say, so what are you making for supper? And she'd say it, and he could hear it on the phone. And before I could say anything, I'd be right over. Click. Done. And he'd come. His name was Reuben Ratzlaff. Why did he come to my mind? Because Reuben Ratzlaff used to attend this church. Years ago, Reuben Ratzlaff, as a young man, attended this church. And I thought, when Amy phoned and asked whether I would come and preach, I thought, wow, an opportunity to come and be in the same church where Reuben Ratzlaff, that sneaky old, and he, where he used to attend, a chance to be here. Yeah. Acts chapter 3, you got it? 18 to 22. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has fulfilled. Remember, we started out with Isaiah, the prophecy. It's been fulfilled. It's happened. Repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. I'll tell you something. If you are like me, now some people, they say, well, they accepted Jesus as their Savior and bingo, their sins were all gone, and man, they were pillars of real spiritual pillars. They were just, well, this boy wasn't like that. I had some favorite sins that I had to get rid of. I had some things that the Spirit of God had to convict me of. And he did. And it took some time. Growth, development, and I'm still in the process of growing and developing. But I came to a point in my life, ladies and gentlemen, where I decided, no more sin. Period. Done. I am done with sin. It is damaging. It will destroy you. It keeps you from growing. It keeps you from blossoming. I was told the other day that flowers love sugar. And I thought, wow, that makes sense because I love sugar and I ain't done blooming. Anyway, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, be refreshed. You may well need it. Admit it. Be refreshed. Somebody will refresh you or refresh somebody. My Uncle Frank Dick was actually Carol's Uncle Frank Dick, but when we got married, he was my Uncle Frank Dick. And my Uncle Frank Dick, he once said, if your testimony is more than 3 days old, it's too old. In other words, he's saying, you know what? If you cannot refer to something that God has done in your life within the last 3 days, hey, wake up. Get with it. Pay attention. Watch. Jesus would say, watch me. That the time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive. And that's where he is now. Heaven has received him. That's where Jesus is. Until the times of restoration of all things. That's coming. Which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Some people say, it ain't going to happen. And I say, watch. Watch him. He's going to show you something. In this congregation, watch him. Watch him. Refresh one another. You need refreshing because you get dried up stick. You need a refreshing. Heavenly Father, I just pray blessing upon this little congregation. This church is so nice. They've reversed it. They enter from the other end, and they've painted it, and it's beautiful. And when you come in, you don't expect what you see. Lord God, You are in the process of stirring and refreshing this place. Spiritually, physically, the building has already been refreshed to a large extent, but there's going to be an opening of doors in the spiritual sense. Young people may find a serious interest in your word as it is being presented. Father God, that refreshing may come. Sin has to go. That refreshing may come. Thank you, Lord, for those that put their shoulders to the harness in this little congregation to see it grow and flourish and blossom in a powerful way. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here. Bless these dear people. Bless this congregation, this church. May it be truly a lighthouse in this community. I ask this in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. Amen.